relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
Going deeper on the big issues that matter to you, this is your exclusive podcast, America First, One-on-One, with me, Sebastian Gorka, former strategist to President Donald J. Trump. Welcome back, dear friends. This is America First, One-on-One, where we get to talk to our buddies, the Warriors for Truth, for a little bit longer than you get on legacy media, so we can delve deep into the truth of given issues. Subscribe today if you're not a subscriber. Look wherever you get your podcasts. America First, Sebastian Gorka, but it's One-on-One. That's the new podcast. And we have with us today somebody who is fearless, undaunted when it comes to speaking truth to power in this stinking corrupt city that is Washington, D.C. From Fox News, legal analyst par excellence, he is the author of numerous books, including A Witch Hunt and the Russia Hoax. Greg Jarrett, welcome to America First One-on-One.
Seb, glad to be with you. Congratulations on the podcast. Happy to be One-on-One.
I appreciate it. Look at that. What professionalism. No other guest so far since we launched this has been so kind about the new podcast. That's how much of a pro he is. So, Greg, for those who haven't tuned in to the Daily Radio Show, who've been living under a rock for the last 20 years, who just landed on this podcast or arrived from Mars, let's start, as we do with all of our guests. Who is Greg Jarrett? Where did he come from? What did he do? And how did he get to this position fighting the swamp monsters?
Accidentally, serendipitously. I was a lawyer, trial lawyer in San Francisco, defense. I sort of accidentally fell into TV and started doing a morning program there. And then I took a sabbatical for 1 year. And now I'm on, like, I don't know, a 34th year of the sabbatical. The law firm eventually gave up after a couple of years and called me up and said, look, your name's still on the letterhead. Are you ever coming back? And I said, I'm having too much fun doing this television thing. And at the time I was anchoring local news, first in Maryland, then North Carolina, then Kansas, and then Court TV launched in 1991. I joined them. I was there for 8 years covering a lot of big trials. I was in Los Angeles daily covering the O.J. Simpson murder case. Then I went to MSNBC, anchored for 4 years there. Then I moved to Fox News, where I anchored for about 15 years. But for the last, six, seven years, I've been not really anchoring. I've been using my expertise as a lawyer, as a legal analyst, commentator, wrote a couple of books, and, you know, that's the thumbnail sketch.
Wrote a couple of books. No false modesty here. Follow him right now at thegregjarrett.com. Also on Twitter, Greg Jarrett, 2 G's, 2 R's, 2 T's. The books are Witch Hunt and The Russia Hoax. Greg, let me just tease a little bit on that, pull that thread a little bit further. Most legal analysts on TV, it's like watching paint dry. Unless there's an O.J. Simpson trial, unless there's a KSM trial about to start, it's not exactly riveting theater. How did you get to make that decision, or was it just a natural progression where it wasn't just legal analysis, you were really uncovering the depth of political corruption at the heart of our nation's capital?
You know, I started writing columns, opinion columns, I think it was 2014, the latter half of it, 2015, and then this whole Hillary Clinton using a private email server exclusively for all of her communications as Secretary of State, it's to me, obviously, it was a strict violation of the law, the Espionage Act. She was jeopardizing national security. She was violating every rule in the book in U.S. government. And I started writing about that and saying, wait a minute, these are crimes. She should be not just investigated, but if the evidence is there, as I think it is, she should be prosecuted. And then shortly thereafter, you know, I started writing columns about, wait a minute, what is this collusion story that Trump colluded with Vladimir Putin in the bowels of the Kremlin to steal the presidential election? And it was truly laughable. We learned it was based on this dossier. I read the dossier and I did laugh.
The steal dossier.
It's funny stuff.
Right.
I mean, it's like it's written by a wannabe, you know, crime novelist, sixth grade style. And it was clearly made up. And yet the media bought it hook, line, and sinker. They wanted to believe. To them, it was inconceivable that a guy like Donald Trump could have won the presidency with the popular vote without trickery and deception and fraud. And, you know, Hannity liked what I wrote, started putting me on the air. And pretty soon, you know, Sean and I were talking one evening and he said, you know, you had this anchoring thing. Aren't you tired of that after three decades? And why don't you do this full time? And so I met with management. They said, fine, that's what I've been doing ever since.
Well, you've been doing a sterling job, and we are very grateful for your attitude that you will leave no stone unturned. Let's talk about the dodgy dossier. Let's talk about the last 4 years and the insanity. This is a man who is chairman of an intelligence committee, and I have to ask you if you've seen any of the things he's seen. This is cut one, play cuts.
This is about as clear evidence you could find of intent by the campaign to collude with the Russians, to get useful information from the Russians.
I think there's plenty of evidence of collusion or conspiracy in plain sight.
I did say that there is ample evidence, and indeed there is, of collusion of people in the Trump campaign with the Russians.
Loads of evidence everywhere from a man with top secret clearances. You've written the two books, The Russia Hoax and The Witch Hunt. What evidence did you find of any kind of collusion on either side, Greg?
Well, zero collusion on the part of Donald Trump with the Kremlin. What I did see was collusion among nefarious characters in our government, the author of the dossier and the Hillary Clinton campaign and her acolytes to frame Donald Trump for crimes that they made up that he never committed. And, you know, Adam Schiff, as you just played it, I mean, truly one of the most notorious liars and biggest fools in Washington. And among that crowd, that's saying a lot. But he's head and shoulders above everybody else. I take direct aim at him in this little thing called Witch Hunt, story of the greatest mass delusion in American political history. And he was one of, you know, the big proponents of the Russia hoax. He drove, in many ways, the witch hunt by lying to the American people, saying he had solid evidence that Trump had conspired with Russians, when in fact, he well knew he had no such evidence. And, you know, Adam Schiff belongs nowhere in the halls of Congress. You know, he is one of those creepy characters who is infamous for his lies and his deceptions, and he's a disgrace to the Democratic Party and American politics.
But it's not just malefactors, it's not just lying politicians, Greg. As somebody who's in the media, has been for decades, what is the culpability of the mainstream legacy media in propagating what you call this hoax and this mass delusion?
Well, the media were witting accessories to the hoax. You know, they were driven by a loathing hatred of Donald Trump. He represented everything that they can't stand. You know, 90% of the intellectual quotient that habitat newsrooms in America are liberal people, and they increasingly wear it on their sleeves. It infects the stories they choose to tell, and it taints the way they tell those stories with, to me, a very conspicuous bias. And so they were all in. And what's really tragic for journalism as a whole is they abandoned any semblance of fairness and objectivity and neutrality. And they, you know, they relied principally on their anonymous sources without doing things like finding a separate source or independently investigating the veracity of what they were being fed. And most of their sources were simply lying to them.
Right.
And in many cases, you know, the journalists jumped to erroneous conclusions on their own by being sloppy and unethical.
Or did they actually willingly join into a propaganda campaign? The two books are Witch Hunt and The Russia Hoax. Check them out right now. Greg, let's jump in with all the materials that you have worked on so diligently that provide the backbone to your works and your publications and your op-ed pieces and everything you do at Fox. Talk to us about the utility of, let's talk about special counsels. Let's talk about Mueller. Let's talk about the mysterious John Durham. I don't know if he actually exists or he's a figment of somebody's imagination. And then IG reports that I print them all out and I read them. And they're fascinating. And the detail in there rarely makes it into any media coverage from the legacy media. But what is the utility of a 300-page IG report on Hillary Clinton or Russia hoaxes when they seem to have zero consequence? So let's talk about the mechanics of a bureaucracy, and have we become, as a Hungarian philosopher used the phrase to describe post-communist nations after the fall of the Berlin Wall, where nobody was punished for anything, have we become, or are we becoming, Greg, a nation, a land of no consequences?
Yeah, in many ways, I think you're right about that. I've never been a fan of independent counsels or special prosecutors were given carte blanche. And, you know, for people who've read both my books, Witch Hunt and the Russia Hoax, I mean, I predicted with the appointment of Mueller that he would find zero evidence of collusion. And I also said, wait a minute, let's examine the facts here. There's no obstruction of justice under the law. And I went through the facts, compared it to the law, and drew the inexorable conclusion that, too, was a hoax. And both turned out to be true.
Let me ask you on Mueller, because his testimony, and there are still people who think, you know, he faked his doddering testimony. I don't think so. I think that man was not in control. Who ran the Mueller probe? Was it Weissmann? It seems to me, you know, that Mueller was a figurehead. What is your conclusion as to who really called the shots?
Oh, I think it's true. I think he was, you know, suffering cognitive difficulties. It was readily apparent during his testimony afterwards. Look, the first thing Mueller did when he was appointed, and he should never have been appointed, as I explain in the book, there were multiple conflicts of interest that prevented him from doing so. And not only that, his mere appointment was in violation of the special counsel law. But once he was appointed, the first thing he did was call up Andrew Weissmann. You know, Weissmann was a guy who was at Hillary Clinton's, you know, pretend supposed election party on election night in 2016, where in the end she lost. And he's a partisan and the kind of guy who hates Trump. So he was appointed to basically lead the Mueller special counsel investigation. And Mueller left it to Weissmann to handpick all of the people on the staff. And they were, you know, 90% of them were liberal Trump-hating, you know, partisans. And yet that team, composed as they were, could still find no evidence of collusion between Trump and Russia, and were forced to admit it in the report. But I think you're right about Bob Mueller. I mean, I'm not even sure he was acquainted with the report that was published under his name.
Yeah, no, it's clear that he didn't know what was published under his name when his response to the questions on Capitol Hill, he just simply didn't know. So talk to us about the utility of the self-policing of bureaucracy. Is there any validity to Inspector General's IG reports? And what is your prediction, or do you have any expectation that John Durham will deliver anything when it comes to the Russia hoax?
Well, at one point, I was optimistic that Durham would end up doing the right thing and prosecuting all the people I identify in my books as having, in my judgment, broken the law. So far, he's only prosecuted one person, who clearly, fabricated documents to implicate Donald Trump. But IGs, I do think they have great value because many of them, not all, but many of them have uncovered wrongdoing and illegal conduct. And I think it's necessary to have a watchdog within a particular agency, whether it be, within the Department of Justice, inclusive of the FBI or elsewhere. Because, our bureaucracy is so enormous. There are so many people that there will be some malevolent characters who abuse their positions of power for either personal or political gain. And that's certainly what we saw in the Great Witch Hunt.
The books are The Witch Hunt and The Russia Hoax. Get them. If you haven't read them, you need to read them and follow this man at his website and on Twitter as well. Greg, since you've been a one-man watchdog for decades now, can you tell us, when it comes to the balance sheet of corruption, is it totally bipartisan, or do we see more of it when a Democrat is in control or chairman of a committee? What's the trend line been?
I mean, there's always enough corruption to go around on both sides of the aisle, but I think Democrats demonstrably have a greater track record of engaging in illicit activity, and in many ways, because they can get away with it, they're partnered with the mainstream media, and that has the ability to drive the narrative in the nation, which furthers, a certain level of corruption. And so, you're always going to find people of Republicans, Democrats, independents in American politics who will breach their sacred duty of trust.
Yeah.
And that's a shame.
There is another individual who's a very good friend of the show, another truth teller par excellence. He's America's mayor, and he's trying to uncover what happened in the last election. The left, as a result, is trying to destroy him. Please, as a favor to me, if you like this show, please support our good buddy, Rudy Giuliani. Go to RudyGiulianiFreedomFund.com. That's RudyGiulianiFreedomFund.com. They're trying to bankrupt him, strip him of his law licenses, and this is one of the ways you can help America's mayor, a man who not only destroyed five mafia families, but also managed to bring New York back from the brink, not only of crime, the crime wave of the late 1970s and 80s, but also to get New York back on its feet after September the 11th. That's RudyGiulianiFreedomFund.com, RudyGiulianiFreedomFund.com. And don't forget, if you enjoyed this show, check out our store, SebGorkaStore.com. Sadly, the book that propelled me to the White House, that got me on the radar screen of candidate Trump, is now more relevant than ever with our withdrawal from Kabul. That's Defeating Jihad, the Winnable War. Understand the threat to America from new or revitalized groups like ISIS-K or the Taliban and the resurgent Al-Qaeda. That's Defeating Jihad, the Winnable War at SebGorkaStore.com. That's SebGorka, SebGorkaStore.com. We have another cut from the man who makes lying seem to be like water for duck's back. It's far too easy for him. Adam Schiff, cut two.
Absolutely. There's no circumstance in which this president should get another intelligence briefing, not now. Not in the future. I don't think he can be trusted with it now, and in the future, he certainly can't be trusted. Indeed, there were, I think, any number of intelligence partners of ours around the world who probably started withholding information from us because they didn't trust the president would safeguard that information or protect their sources and methods. And that makes us less safe. We've seen this president politicize intelligence, and that's another risk to the country.
Adam Schiff accusing somebody else of politicizing intelligence. I know you've played two cuts in one discussion here on one-on-one, but my producer Jeff said you got to play that cut. So Adam Schiff, who walks out of closed intelligence briefings to tweet out things he heard to the media buddies behind closed doors, he says, you can't trust Donald Trump with intelligence briefings. Let me take that issue from that clown and just turn it into a serious question for you, Greg. And, you know, you are the guy who dealt with the Russia hoax, the witch hunt. Can we trust the institutions that are providing the intelligence briefings? I've had very serious guests in studio, former counterintelligence officers, say the DOJ is done. The FBI is done. Send in the U.S. Marshals, take it apart brick by brick, and rebuild it because they are so corrupt. What is Greg Jarrett's response to the state of the machinery of justice and intelligence in America?
Well, you know, in the intelligence community is sort of an oxymoron, right?
Yeah.
And look, I know a lot of, I was just talking to a former CIA senior operations officer just a few hours ago today. He's an incredibly bright man. And I think he's disgusted with some of the intelligence that emanates from our agencies. And Adam Schiff, of course, you know, it's pretty rich for him to be talking about trust in that vein.
Yeah.
Our institutions are only as good as the people who occupy those institutions and agencies and departments. And when you've got people like Adam Schiff as a member of Congress, and, you know, when you've got people like James Comey, Andrew McKay, Peter Strzok, Lisa Page, Bruce Orr, John Brennan, James Clapper, all of the people who perpetrated the greatest hoax in American history on its people and sought to drive a president from office simply because they disliked him and made up an infamous lie about him. You know, those are untrustworthy individuals. They have demeaned and defamed and made a mockery of the agencies and departments that they were the head of and deeply involved in. You know, there needs to be a cleansing, it seems to me, of our institutions in America. And the only way it can happen, it's not going to happen with a guy like Joe Biden, who's the quintessential establishment institutionalist, who can't think his way out of a paper sack and who could screw up a free lunch. And if you doubt me, just look at his Afghanistan exit. When you've got somebody like that in charge, there will be no cleansing, only a further dirtying up of our institutions. And, you know.
So what could be the mechanism for salvaging, say, the DOJ or the FBI? Because you just rattled off the list of all these incredibly senior seventh-floor FBI officials who committed felonies. One peon of a lawyer gets a slap on the wrist for forging a CIA document, but everybody else walks. So how could we fix it, Greg?
Well, in a constitutional republic such as ours, democracy provides periodically a corrective course. And I talk about this in my most recent podcast, which will be out tomorrow on my website, thegregjarrett.com. And the mechanism, of course, is the ballot box.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the only way you can achieve meaningful change in America. You've got to elect the right person to positions of power, whether it be in the House of Representatives or in the United States Senate or in the Oval Office.
Yeah, it's
we have the ability to do that periodically. Yeah. And I think what you're going to see, and I talk about this in my podcast that comes out tomorrow, but one of the things that you'll see is that, you know, Joe Biden's incredible mishandling, his incompetency and stupidity associated with Afghanistan is going to cause an enormous backlash in the midterm elections next year. You know, Obama lost 63 seats after 2 years in office. I predict that Joe Biden will lose even more seats than that in the House of Representatives, and that will be the beginning of the end of his presidency.
Listen to his podcast, thegregjarrett.com. Follow him on Twitter and get his books. And he's right. It's up to us. So, Greg, let me ask a tough question. We don't rehearse any of this. We don't do talking points because that defeats the purpose of these discussions. January the 6th, there are still people in federal cells who have been charged with trespassing or what was it? Obstructing an official process, official proceedings. None of them have been charged with insurrection or revolution, despite the fact that we had lots of examples of political violence for a year and a half, Black Lives Matter, Antifa, riots across the nation. How disturbed are you from the standpoint of equality before the law, Lady Justice being blindfolded, that there seems to be an attempt by some to criminalize conservatism? And I'm not making excuses. If you broke the law, pay the penalty. But to have people in prison for months for trespassing, right, and BLM can just, you know, burn down cities, how concerned are you as a legal professional?
Well, I'm really frightened. I mean, first of all, many of these people are charged, some of them with nonviolence, and yet they're charged with, you know, relatively minor crimes, and they, you know, some of them are still behind bars awaiting disposition of their cases. It's unbelievable. There should be habeas corpus petitions filed every day, every hour, before the federal courts. And, you know, to think that some of these people are still behind bars is just, to me, as a lawyer, mind-boggling. Juxtapose people in New York under the bail reform law that Andrew Cuomo signed into law, and the idiots and morons that occupy Albany, the state legislature, passed. You know, you can commit a very serious violent crime. You can stab someone and you'll be out in the afternoon on bail, because there's essentially no bail in New York. And look at this fund that Kamala Harris championed. And the fund, a bail fund, netted $35 million. Here are some of the people that Kamala Harris was able to set free on bail because of her fund. A registered sex offender accused of raping an 8-year-old girl. A twice convicted rapist charged with sexual assault and kidnapping. A defendant charged with stabbing a friend to death for refusing to have sex. And of course, infamously, we know now, a domestic abuser awaiting trial who was released thanks to Kamala Harris's fund and went out and committed what Minneapolis police have charged as murder.
Yeah.
So to think that, you know, these people on January 6th, who didn't murder anyone, and many of them were committing acts of trespass or vandalism, are still behind bars, it's unbelievable in America.
let's talk about the future then. We're talking to Greg Jarrett. Follow him on Twitter, Greg Jarrett, 2 G's, 2 R's, 2 T's, the author of The Witch Hunt and the Russia Hoax. Truly, I love the way he expresses it in the subtitle, the largest hoax, the largest con in American political history. That's really how it has to be thought of. So what happens in the future? Say there is a slap in the face of Biden's corruption and incompetence, a trouncing of the Democrats in the midterms, House and the Senate. Perhaps my old boss, who I know is going to run, wins in 2024, takes back the position of commander-in-chief and president. What happens then? Can we get a little bit into the granularity? How do we get Americans to feel confident again in the legal system, in, you know, the last name of the individual doesn't matter. If you're a Clinton, you don't get special treatment. Can you talk to us about the scenario where we win back confidence in our republic?
Well, you have to clean house. You have to get rid of people. And that would be, you know, in my judgment, about 90% of the people. You know, who occupy these departments, agencies, and institutions that nobody trusts anymore. So the only way to regain trust is to, you know, show them all the door and replace them with competent people. And then to start, you know, prosecuting people who abuse their positions of power and trust for personal and political reasons. And you know, if Americans begin to see that people are held accountable, two things happen. Americans begin to trust their institutions. And second of all, it offers a disincentive to, you know, commit criminal activity like false accusations of collusion. And so, you know, it's going to take a lot of dynamic change in Washington, D.C., it's certainly not going to happen with the current president napping in the Oval Office.
Let me ask you a very, you know, concrete, practical question. I've always loved the idea. Take government and get it out of D.C. Everything's incestuous here. Everybody knows everybody else. I think the DOJ should be in Wyoming. The State Department should be in Alaska. What do you think about changing culture by just getting them out of the swamp?
Yeah, I mean, everybody is drowning in the swamp, right? They're drowning in corruption. And K Street, you know, where all of the lobbyists reside, or a big part of it. Yeah, you know, I mean, I think George Washington would be embarrassed and humiliated that his name is on the nation's capital, that it's become such a filthy place in American politics, that, you know, corruption reigns. And I, you know, it's an embarrassment. And yeah, it's, you know, let's start all over again in some fashion. If that means moving some of these important agencies out of the swamp, so be it.
I like that metric. That's a very realistic metric. What would George Washington think today, given that his name is the name for our capital? He would, I think, be horrified. He would be shocked. Follow him at Greg Jarrett on Twitter. Go to thegregjarrett.com for his podcast. His books are The Witch Hunt, The Russia Hoax. Finally, I like to ask our special guests a kind of practical question to all of our millions of listeners and viewers out there. You are, you know, you're like a Spartan, Greg. You're out there. You're a one man, you know, force multiplier. What is your message to our listeners, somebody who may have just fallen on this podcast, been sent the link, who feel intimidated, who look at what happened after January the 6th, or look at what happened to members of the administration like myself, and they just say, I'm just going to keep my head down. I'm not going to get involved in politics, and that's a dirty business. Somebody else can deal with it, and I don't want to be canceled. You have not been intimidated. What is your message to them, Greg Jarrett?
The more people hate me, the more I realize I'm succeeding. So I do keep my head down. I persevere. I'm determined. I have faith in, you know, my intelligence, my ability, and conveying what I think. You know, I'm 66 years old. I'm past the point where I really care what everybody thinks of me, but I'm determined to tell the truth as I see it. And I think I still have something to contribute. And I would say to people, don't get discouraged. That's the easy way out. The hard thing is to fight, to change, and do it any way you can. I do it in my small way.
And just share with our friends and our listeners and viewers how liberating it is when you decide, I don't care what other people think of me. Isn't that liberating, Greg Jarrett?
Yeah, it really is. It's a certain measure of freedom that I never experienced before. And, you know, maybe it's a question of, you know, growing older or old age. I don't know. You know, 66 to me, you know, I guess is just a number. I don't feel like it. But it has given me a certain measure of freedom. I'm not, you know, beholden to a paycheck anymore. I don't, you know, feel like I have to toe a line. I feel a certain independence that I can speak and fortunately have a platform and friends like you who allow me to speak my mind. And I thank you for that. I realize since you're wearing a coat and tie, I should have dressed up. Sorry about the tennis shirt, but I was trying to get a little exercise out back. But at any rate, you know, I just... People need, I wish people in America would read more.
Yes.
I mean, you know, I read a new book every couple of days. I just finished one last night.
I tell people, I don't care what field you want to be good in, here's my piece of advice for all of you. Switch this bloody thing off. Switch your phone off for at least an hour a day. And I mean off. And go and read something with pages. Ideally, something written over 100 years ago. Ideally, a couple of thousand years ago. He knows of what he speaks. He's not afraid. More power to you, Greg. 66 years old. I don't believe it for a millisecond. He doesn't act like it at all. The books are The Witch Hunt and The Russia Hoax. Check out his podcast. Check out his website. And as ever, friends, keep your head on a swivel. Watch your six. Hold the line. Never give up. Never give in. And stay frosty.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.